Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm a psychologist, author, and speaker. Every week, we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and higher nature, how to improve our relationships, our finances, career, spirituality, and, of course, our love. And we have a very interesting show for you today, interesting topic and guest. And it has to do with what's going on in the world today. We're in this virus situation where people are feeling lonely, isolated, even depressed, and anxious. And some people are turning to the use of cannabis or marijuana to help them in terms of their mood and help them psychologically. In the U.S., 43 million people indicate they've used marijuana or cannabis in the last year and is legally available recreationally in 11 states and also medically in 33 states. Since March of this year, 2020, due to COVID, there's been an increase of the use of cannabis and marijuana. 46% increase in Colorado, 100% in Washington State, and 159% in California. And also, the ingredients are getting stronger. The THC active ingredient was approximately 1% in the 70s, up to 30% today. So people are using more potent forms of the medication or of the substance, and more frequently. And we want to talk about that. Does it help or hurt you psychologically or emotionally? So I want to welcome Mary Jane to the show, also known as Tiffany Dewberry. Mary Jane is a content creator, events director, educator, and entrepreneur. In 2006, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and she used cannabis to optimize her health and wellness and be her best self. She is a cannabis activist, advocate, and creator of the Menage with Mary Jane Maven podcast to help eradicate negative stereotypes and elevate lives. She's also the mother of three boys. Welcome, Mary Jane, to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Yes,
today.
Definitely. So tell us about this. So you have a podcast. Does it talk about cannabis? What is your podcast about?
It does. I'd like to say that it is, it is a high grade, carefully curated, sponsored by cannabis podcast. Okay. Where we cover all kind of topics. I will say this: I'm an Aries, and we love to speak. So any topic that I can kind of have a platform on, it's okay. A benefit, it's something I enjoy, but yes. Specifically, there is definitely a need, for education and for the information to be digestible and for it to be something that is, not scary to individuals that are looking for the correct information on cannabis and the benefits. Wow.
Yeah, see how you kind of do a double entendre. Digestible can be the marijuana also, as well as the knowledge.
That's yes. Kind of could be. I like that.
Yeah. Now, Virginia, are you high right now?
I am not. I would like to be, but I wanted to be in my best frame of mind. I'm not, but this isn't my podcast. Where on our podcast we have a a spark and salutation, so we encourage all the listeners and viewers to spark up. We spark up and we medicate. But
I wanted to. I think I've seen some podcasts or shows where everyone's high on the show. I forgot what the name of that show. Was it Galifianakis or something? What's the guy's name?
Oh, Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, that guy, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Him and Seth Rogen. Yeah,
exactly. And Seth Rogen. And also, Joe Rogan had Elon Musk on the show doing marijuana. Did you see that one? That was a big hit, apparently.
I love him. I used to work for him. I've actually taken shots with him in Vegas. Okay.
Are you talking about Joe Rogan or are you talking about Elon Musk?
Elon Musk. Yeah.
Now, Reggie, my producer, he's like kind of a geeky guy. You're laughing. What's so funny, Reggie, about this?
I watched that interview, and I'm just impressed that Elon Musk.
That's Elon Musk. He's a very interesting guy.
That is something, I guess, quirky about me. But I worked for his solar company that he invested in that his cousins actually ran. And they took us to Vegas for 3 days. Well, actually, one day. And I ended up in his booth, and next thing I know, I was like, wait a minute, I know who you are, and we took a shot of Tito's together. It was great.
Wow, that's amazing. So you seem like a sociable gal. You must be the extrovert personality in the personality types. Are you pretty extrovert?
Very much. Okay. It's funny. My husband's over here shaking his head emphatically. Yes. I am. That's why I find myself, why I feel that it's my purpose to be in the industry that I'm in and to be doing what I'm doing as an entrepreneur.
Excellent. Now, we're going to get into a little bit of the emotional, psychological aspects of marijuana. And there's been some studies, but not that many, on the psychological side. But there have been other studies on the physical side. Now, in terms of, you know, the typical reaction, people know that you have a heightened perception sensory-wise. You have euphoria. Maybe you can come down from that and also appetite increase. But in terms of positives, and I want to get your take on this. There had a new study in 17 that looked at the 113 chemical aspects of cannabis. And they found that there are three things that they discovered that were benefits. One is it reduces chronic pain. Mm-hmm. It reduces nausea from chemotherapy and also decreases spasticity in multiple sclerosis, which is kind of like the muscle spasms and stiffness. Tell us about your experience. Now, you said you had multiple sclerosis, or do you still have it?
I do. I like to say that multiple sclerosis lives with me. It came into my life, so it needs to keep up. You know, just, yes, you know, just be there. I don't like to kind of claim it. I feel that it manifests when you do that. So, yes, it, like I said, it's something that came into my life and that I needed to understand. Yes. So that it could kind of, in a way, understand me, and we could live happily together. Okay. But yes, I have found that cannabis, it helps me immensely. I'm 1000% transparent with my neurologist. He knows. Yes. He actually says, I think that you are one of my healthiest patients because of my mindset and because I use cannabis, but I also understand how the illness affects me because it affects everybody differently.
Yes.
So I know that cannabis helps me to not stress, which stress triggers everything within everyone. It doesn't matter, yes, if you have multiple sclerosis or not. Yes. It's a horrible thing. But within me and with the MS, it definitely is. It can be debilitating, and it can be something.
Do you tremor? Do you shake? What is MS symptoms to you usually?
I don't. You know, thank the universe. I just have my left leg. When I look down at it, as you're looking at it, but yes, my left leg, that's where a lot of my symptoms are. Majority of my symptoms, I get tingly there. Uh-huh. I get kind of pins and needles feeling. It's really hard to explain. Right. And since I've had each one of my last two boys, yes, I have lost the feeling in both of my feet from about the mid foot till about the tip of my toes.
Oh, no.
But not in a way where it like I'm not able to walk. It does affect my gait, but I've been able to kind of counteract that with exercise. Okay. And
so someone steps on your toe, do you feel it? If someone stepped on your foot?
I do. It's not that bad, but it's kind of, like I said, a pins and needles kind of feeling. Okay. Yeah, so I went into a remission with both, with both pregnancies, and I was feeling completely normal up until about 4 months and 2 days after having birth, like with each of them. And then had a little bit of a flare up, but yeah, I knew how to identify it.
Now, Mary Jane, and by the way, your name is spelled Marijayne, which I assume is a take on marijuana, or Mary Jane.
It is. It is.
I guess Rick James came up with that first, didn't he, back in the days?
Yes, he may have spelled it the traditional way. You know, 4 years ago when I decided to venture into cannabis, yes, I needed to make sure that I stood out. It's a very common name that people use, yes, but I wanted to be able to stand out, and so I decided to spell it a little differently.
Although Dewberry sounds like a blueberry to me. That's not a bad name.
I've heard a lot of takes on that, so I'll take Blueberry. I will take that, but yes. It's much better than no harm to my family, love you, Dad, but it's much better than my maiden name, my maiden last name, yeah.
Oh, okay. What is that one that made the last name?
Wiggum.
Okay.
Yes. And so I heard my entire life, Chief Wiggum, you know, Simpson. So, yeah.
Okay. What does that mean? Is that a bad word, Wiggums? Or what is
that? No, but it's a character from The Simpsons.
Say it again?
A character from The Simpsons.
Oh, Simpsons. Okay. Yeah. Reggie, you would know that one, would you? Okay. Okay.
Yes. I figured he would know. I figured Reggie would know.
This guy knows everything. He's a knowledgeable guy. Now, Tiffany, Mary Jane, one thing we want to kind of delve into is the benefits and also maybe the drawbacks of this. Now, there is some research that's kind of mixed. Now, they do talk about the fact that marijuana may irritate your lungs, the coughing issue, increase your heart rate. They said there's a 10% more chance of heart problems, and also reproductive aspects. You know, it lowers the sperm count in men. And women during pregnancy, they might have a lower birth rate baby. What do you think of that? Do you recommend women smoke marijuana during pregnancy or not?
You know, I, as a consultant, as an educator, I base it off of my knowledge, my research, and, my personal experience. Yes. I think it depends on the way that you actually take cannabis.
Okay.
Of course, I don't recommend, you know, I wouldn't say go ahead and roll up, you know, in a tobacco leaf and smoke crazy while you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. If that's what helps you kind of get through those horrible months of like bad, you know, nausea and whatnot, to each his own. Yeah. But I would suggest that if you are going to use cannabis, use it in the form of a tea. Use it in the form of an edible. Okay. Don't smoke it, because that's where I think the major concern is.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
You know, and so I wouldn't recommend that, but I don't say that it's something that should not be used during pregnancy or to make your quality of pregnancy better, because I know that it helped mine.
Yes. Now, the other thing is a little concern is the idea of, you know, some people have paranoia, hallucinations, and, you know, they say psychosis, there's a 4 to 5 times greater risk. You'll break from reality. Now, what do you think of that? I mean, do you get paranoid on weed, or do some people do? How does that work?
Some people do, but this is the reason why, is because everybody's body chemistry reacts to the cannabinoids that are, you know, that are within the compounds that are within the power flower, as I call it, differently. Mm. So this is what I simply tell people: the nose knows. If it smells sweet, if it smells attractive to you, it works with your body chemistry and you can avoid the paranoia.
Okay.
If it smells gassy and, you know, just really, it doesn't smell pleasing, don't do it, because that's your body's chemistry telling you it's not going to work together. So it's very simple. You know, people also need to understand the benefit of using CBD and other forms, the non-psychoactive forms of the plant, along with the THC. If you do come across being paranoid or being too high for, you know, what you're comfortable with.
Right.
The CBD, for example, will help to even out that psychoactiveness.
Right.
And it will kind of elongate, actually, the time that you're going to be high. But it helps to bring you down.
I see. So, I understand there are two strains. One's called sativa and indica. Can you tell us what's the difference in those two things?
So sativa is the one that is it causes more people to they feel paranoid and anxious. But what it is, it's I don't want to say it's more of an upper, but you definitely are much more elevated. It's more of a head high. You get very creative.
Does
I do a lot of my
THC?
Content creating with sativa.
Is there more THC in it, or is it just the way it's made that makes
you know, it's just the way that those two interact, you know, with the body chemistry, with their purposes.
Yeah.
Indica is the one that's going to floor you more. Indica is the one where you like, you want to watch Game of Thrones. You want to get through, you know, an entire, you know, entire season.
Right.
You may want to sit back with some food and some indica, and you're going to like kind of veg out. Indica is also the one that helps more of the pain and the inflammation.
Right.
And, you know, some of those health benefits.
I see.
So sativa's more of a kind of party one.
Oh, party. Okay. Now, the one thing that people have concern with in the psychological area is, people that use this medication or substance and they become kind of lethargic, you know, like apathetic and aimless. Now, there might be people that are able to work better, right, because they reduce their anxiety. What's been your experience? Does this make you lazy and apathetic, or does it make you more creative and strong?
It depends on the strain. So I say all the time, I am not an indica lover because I have stuff to do.
Yes.
And I say the other four word, you know, explanation or description of that, but I want to get the point home. Like, I have stuff to do. I can't.
Yeah.
Now, if I don't have anything to do, or if I am feeling a lot of pain, if I'm not able to sleep, then indica would be my choice. But being that I know how I work with either one, I prefer to be functioning and do what I need to do with sativa other than indica.
Right.
So
I see.
It depends. There's several people that are opposite.
Right, because the classic stereotype, I guess you would see it in movies and comedies, you know, the guy's lying on the couch eating chips all day.
Jeff Spicoli,
Is that true or not necessarily?
You know, there are some people that are very much like that. And, you can kind of blame it on anything. I don't think that that's so much of the plant as I think that it is
their psychological,
you know, where they're stuck, where they are. Yeah, they haven't identified what their purpose is. So they don't really feel a need to be.
Right.
Productive.
Okay, so the gaining weight and just not being doing too much, being apathetic, you think they're just using the drug as a scapegoat, or you think they are that way?
There are some people. I think that's why you should be of a certain age. You should be, you know, for example, you know, like you were saying with the corona, you know, the numbers have skyrocketed with people that are using.
Yes.
Those people are ones that have jobs. you know, that are integral parts of society, that are functioning, that are able to utilize it and in whatever factor they want and still do what they need to do. There are individuals that, because of where they are in their life, they don't need to depend on any substance, any plants, anything other than getting themselves completely 100% healthy inside and out.
Right.
So yeah, so it definitely can be a hindrance because, you know, especially if you're smoking indica all day, you don't want to get up and do anything. Like I said, you know, it just depends, but yeah,
especially I'm not going to say that. A lot of people are staying home anyway, so they figure, hey, you might as well you know, smoke, eat, drink, and be merrier, as you say, right?
Hey, I mean, I was much happier to see the numbers higher for the cannabis purchases than I was for the alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. At least I knew that with the cannabis, they were being a little bit healthier and they were getting some health benefits, you know, but I'm a craft beer girl, so I can't just claim innocent on that. I've been having a little craft beer this coronacation, as I call it.
Or maybe a mojitos for our Latin folks out here. Do you ever try mojitos?
Oh, yes. Well, I love, I definitely do. And good tequila. We've been tequila tasting, and I've tasted some really good tequila, but I'm a Tito's girl.
Let me ask you something, a little controversial. Now, you have three sons, I understand, three boys?
I do.
How old are your boys?
The oldest will be 23 in October. I know. How is that possible? I know.
Well, you look great.
Thank you.
How old is your youngest son?
9. So 23, 12, and 9.
Okay. So here's the question, Tiffany. Do you want your teen boys under 16 smoking marijuana?
I don't. And we are very honest with them. They understand that it's our medicine. I don't hide it because I feel that when you hide it, that is just providing the springboard for them to go crazy when they get the opportunity. I think if you're very honest with them and you let them know when, where, and how, they can go ahead and decide to do that, which is when you're out of my house, when you're of age, when you're paying your own bills, and when you have a college degree. Of course, the college degree may be stretching it because most people actually get into it more than college, but I want you to at least be the age of consent, one, of adult consent, but two, where I know that your brain has fully developed.
Because I do believe that it can affect the younger, that you know, the memory structures are shrunken, and even neurons may be decreased. So, you know, we have what's called brain plasticity in psychology. You may have heard about where, you know, the brain grows and changes. So this actually can hurt, you know, younger people, apparently, based on the research. And also the idea, even suicidal thoughts.
They did a study. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, in Colorado, before the age of 17, the toxicology reports show higher substances of marijuana in those that committed suicide. So what do you think of that? Should we ban it for teenagers, you know, younger teenagers?
I mean, I think if we keep it the way that it is, because the numbers have also shown a decrease in kids that are starting to smoke at a certain age.
Yes.
You know, the most recent numbers, I believe, shows an average age is 16, 17 of their first time trying it. Where I know that when I was going to school, it was definitely 12, 13.
Wow.
Easily.
Right.
I have a big 6-foot, 7-foot dad, so I didn't do anything. I was scared to death.
Right. But they said that the concentration was less in the 70s. It was like 1-5%, but now they have up to 30%. Is that true?
True.
Yeah.
Quite possibly. No, not quite possibly. It is. And it's above 30%, which is what I think adds to the fact of they don't need to be using the flower until they're complete, you know, until their brains have developed more because of the higher THC.
Yeah. So you agree with that part of it in terms of the age range. Okay. Now, here are a couple of findings. Now, let me know what you think about these. Some research shows that it's connected to violent crime. And you think of marijuana users as being more mellow and all that, but how about the lack of inhibition? Does it lower your inhibition? Could you become more of a criminally minded or even violent, possibly, with marijuana? Or is that unlikely?
I don't believe so. I believe that if anyone is acting or, you know, committing a crime or, you know, doing something that's wrong, marijuana is not the only thing that is in their system. Right. They have, you know, man-made drugs. They have possibly other issues as far as, you know, maybe chemical imbalance or depression or anger issues.
Right.
It's something else. It's not always just somebody who, you know, rolled up and decided to go in and, you know, and because they had a lower inhibition, rob a bank or whatever. Okay. I don't think it's that simple. I definitely think that you will find cannabis being in their system and something that they use every day.
Yes.
But there's other factors definitely.
Okay. And the other one that's interesting is, you know, the idea this is kind of a pathway drug. that people start marijuana and we'll get into other stuff. And they show that there's a likely, more likely, a 2.6 times greater to abuse prescription opioids if you do marijuana. What do you think of that kind of thing? Is it lead to other things, possibly?
I don't believe so. And I'm going to base this on my personal experience. Like, as you know, like we discussed, going to school at UC Davis, when I started going to school there, I was immediately like, nobody there does smokes. Nobody there does anything. Right. It is just all about school. Yeah. Please.
And they like to ride bicycles college. Too, right? They're all healthy bicycle riders.
Usually. Oh yeah. They're still loving the bicycles. Exactly. But I, you know, it's college, you know, and it, and it's that age where you, where you experiment. And I'm going to tell you that I've seen other substances that are utilized and abused much more, which lead to the opioids, other than cannabis.
You mean like what do you call it? Ecstasy and all kinds of
cocaine. I mean, that's you would think that cocaine, because of the expense of it, is not something that is, you know, it's definitely in abundance.
So you don't see that connection, marijuana leading to cocaine or meth or that kind of stuff as much.
I believe that if you're predisposed to it, I believe that, you know, if you have. And we know that most abuse or addiction starts with, you know, your being hereditary and starts with your, you know, kind of your background. So I'm not saying that's the entire, you know, catalyst of it, but I do believe that having predisposed issues, illnesses and whatnot, that tends to and lends to it. And I just, I have to see numbers that are just much more prudent and just being able to be just right down to connecting cannabis and crimes or cannabis and, you know, and the loss of inhibitions or the loss of
a lot of these studies are what we call correlational, but they're not causational. So you have to do like a random peer experiment where you have to give people marijuana in two groups and then, you know, watch them and see if they commit crimes. But obviously that wouldn't be very ethical to do that.
It would not, but you know, unfortunately, our country, they've done some things before that wouldn't be very ethical. Yeah, you remember that? But it's true.
Exactly. You remember Milgram's shock experiment? Do you ever study that in psychology, where they shock people and all that?
Yes, I did. I studied it for sociology for hubby and for myself.
Exactly. It's kind of hard to get these studies really accurate. But here's some interesting things. There actually have studies, and they have mixed findings. Some say yes or no. The CBD can help reduce anxiety. It could be antipsychotic. Perhaps social anxiety reduction, you know, like social phobia, severe shyness, and possibly even PTSD. Now, these studies are kind of like in the works still, so there's no conclusive evidence. What do you think about these things? Do you see marijuana or CBD as helpful in these four areas?
I can tell you 1,000% in my personal experience and the endless amount of people that I've helped. Through my brand education, I am an entrepreneur, so I have to have multiple streams of income. So I do brand education for certain brands, you know, within the industry. Right. CBD is something that I educate on.
Yes.
9 times out of 10 when I speak to a consumer.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a personal story. My grandmother, who is very saved, very Christian, lives by the Bible.
Right.
My grandfather passed away. She was on 30 different medications that her doctor had her on. 30 daily different medications. He took her off cold turkey and told her to take Excedrin. It was a day after my grandfather passed away. They'd been together 60 plus years. So I went to visit her and I said, just trust me, I will be back. And I found the nearest dispensary. I went and bought her CBD products. My grandmother, 2 days later, she was laughing. She was able to tell stories about my grandfather. Okay. Her pain had lessened. The withdrawals that she was having, they were just almost not there. This is within 48 to 72 hours. I have to watch her now and check on her periodically because she thinks that she can go on Amazon and buy CBD pens.
Wait a minute. You don't want grandma lighting up a joint every day, do you?
Yeah. She did ask. She said ABC. And I was like, do you mean THC? Because she was like, give me something with that. You know, she just threw letters together. You know, my mother, very, very just worrisome, very stressful, not sleeping well. I got her a CBD pen and was able to kind of bump her up to a little CBD THC ratio. And those issues have passed. So
but
personally, within my life, I've seen the benefits.
Yeah. One interesting area, if the research could prove it, is, you know, PTSD. I work a lot with trauma victims and serious situations. And you're having flashbacks and avoidance, you know, nightmares and all that from, you know, terrible trauma. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Have you seen that among your either clients or people that recover from trauma using
cannabis? Yes. I don't want to get teary. I almost did just even thinking about it. But I remember my very first customer that I helped, and he was, he walked into the dispensary and he said, "It's my first time here." And he immediately walked over to my table. And I said, "Well, you know, I don't work here. I'm with this company." He said, no. Okay. I just need to feel comfortable about this. And so I kind of, you know, read his energy and I said, "It's your first time. What's going on?" And he said, "You know, I just cannot be on those pills anymore. Right. That the VA provides me," he says, "and I want to find, I have to have a quality of life back." Right. And I spoke to him for about 45 minutes and was able to help him out with the right gummies. You know, he wasn't comfortable with smoking, so we found the right products for him.
Okay.
And I saw him every week for the next probably 6 months, and to see the change in his demeanor and energy from that first day until the last day that I saw him.
Yes.
It was immense. And he was a veteran, and he was, you know, just released, and he was dealing with, you know, a lot of trauma. I've had those experiences that make me a believer.
I see.
Definitely.
Now, the other side of the coin, I see there's a lot of benefit here from what you're saying in terms of mood and pain and all that. But there are people that fall into what we call the cannabis use disorder, where kind of an addiction. It's anywhere from 6 to 10% can become addicted to it. Now, my philosophy, I've always been a person that believes in internal chemicals more than external. For example, your brain, when you meditate, for example, or see nature, something beautiful, that releases very beautiful chemicals. But if you get used to external chemicals, you might reduce the pleasure you get from, for example, the sunset. You know, you don't have the same reaction to it. So you need to use the other chemical, whether it's a marijuana or something else. And then, that, you know, we build up what we call tolerance and also withdrawals when we don't have it. And this people that have this disorder over a year period, either can't stop themselves, they use too much and that kind of thing. And they, you know, they have problems at home, school, work, and mm-hmm. social life. So what do you think of that, Mary Jane? Are there people that should not use it, or can it be a problem if they become emotionally addicted to it?
I believe most certainly that there are people that should not use it in the psychoactive form. You know, in a situation that you just described, I think, you know, the other compound would be great. A CBN, a CBD, whatever it may be.
So psychoactive meaning THC, is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much for clarifying. Yeah. Yes. So instead of leaving that psychoactive side, leaving that to others, you know, and being able to find out what's going to work with your body chemistry and what's going to work with your wellness. I don't find any fault in anything that's CBD.
Let me make sure I have this clear. CBD, can you smoke that? I mean, is it just like marijuana, but a different form?
Yes. There are CBD. Yeah, there's CBD flower. Most commonly, what you find it in is drinks, edibles. Okay. You're going to find it in tinctures. You're going to find it in topicals.
Okay.
You're going to find it in intimacy lubes. Those are the things that you're going to find it in most common.
What is an intimacy lube? What does that mean?
It is, you know, like your KY jelly.
Okay. For sexual activity, intimacy.
Yes. So it's the pleasing side, not just so much for the act itself, but more for to awaken the nerves and to bring you and your partner closer together.
I see. So as far as you know, this is not addictive, the CBD, or is there addiction to it as well? I'm talking about personally speaking.
No, not at all.
Because if something feels good, don't you want to keep doing it? You know, so you might really get into it and it's hard to leave it.
True, but it helps to level out your body chemistry. It helps to level out your wellness and really optimize it. Okay. So it'd be the same as taking your everyday vitamins and drinking your green smoothie, and it's going to provide the same type of benefits. Actually, that's a very good way for people too, and you know, to have it every day is to have a powder or a butter or an oil, a coconut oil, and just put that in, you know, your everyday,
So when you're my producer, are you going to get something for one of your friends or something? Are you going to start using it? Are you going to start puffing up?
Maybe for myself.
Reggie, okay.
We can be friends, Reggie. We can be friends.
Okay, Reggie, Reggie's a nice guy. He's kind of shy though with women, and we have a bet that I would buy him a date for $100, you know, a dinner date. I pay for it,
you know,
but he hasn't met the right girl. So what do you suggest? Should he meet a girl that likes this kind of stuff?
You know, somebody that may be open to it just in case, you know, you never know. He may venture into a, you know, there's a whole cannabis cafe in Southern California. Maybe he ventures into that and has a meal.
Okay.
And you know, he discovers that infused meals that might be good for him.
He looks a little bit like a stoner with that beard. So
a little bit dazed and confused. A little bit, but it's good. Okay. It's in a good way.
But in a cool way, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, that's kind of cool. So you're saying that CBD versus THC. Now THC could be addictive. Is that what you're saying? It could change your brain chemistry, possibly, and you get tolerance and also withdrawals. Is that?
I do believe that based on your body chemistry, the chemistry that your brain chemistry, I believe, yes. You know, that definitely plays into it. For somebody like myself, I've never felt like I've had a bout where it has brought on depression or it's made me feel even lower than I've already felt.
Okay.
In all honesty, anytime that I do feel any kind of stress or worry or strain or anything, it actually helps me to kind of like take a deep breath and meditate and realize that it's I'm going to manifest whatever's going to happen and just kind of like take a step back.
I see. But I know people that wake up, they smoke it. They're, you know, kind of, they're depressed, but they rely on it emotionally all day. They're smoking constantly. Is that a problem, do you think?
I mean, if you're depending on anything other than your own faculties, then I do think that's a problem.
Okay.
Because we are meant to, as human beings and part of this universe, we're meant to understand who we are and what our true purpose is within the universe. So if you can't do that without something and then it's definitely something that you need to take a step back from.
For example, how much do you smoke a day? Do you smoke one joint or do you smoke a certain amount?
I have a 9 and 12-year-old. I definitely smoke more than that.
Oh, okay. You can't do it.
My husband's a teacher. And so of course, during the hours that he's teaching that, you know, doesn't occur. But while everybody's home right now, mommy does probably sneak off and have one or two extra puffs. You know, while hubby's teaching and while the boys are in school.
Okay.
But I would say about four times a day.
Four times a day. Okay. Okay. So I guess it depends, again, like you said, on your functionality, your brain chemistry. Some people maybe can do more or less, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, for me, you know, we have our last evening smoke and usually, you know, hubby's sleep within an hour. And that's when I, you know, do a lot of my content creating and my writing.
Oh, okay.
It's really a creative time for me and I'm able to focus and get a lot done. Yeah. So for me, I'm very, very functional as long as time.
You're a very interesting, fascinating kind of woman. And I like the, you know, your style is very balanced and it seems like it's compassionate. So you want to help people in what you're doing.
Thank you. I do. I honestly feel that the purpose of why I'm here is to leave a footprint of significance in a positive way in the lives of others.
Exactly.
A very long lasting. And I think that I'll be able to do that through my entrepreneurship and using cannabis.
Yeah. So let me ask you a couple and I'll get into a little more about you. In your life, has there been a failure or even a great challenge? I know you mentioned the multiple sclerosis. That sets you up for later success. Is there anything you've overcome in life that, or maybe you failed and then you overcame it?
Yeah, most definitely. And it's part of my journey and why I am, you know, who I am today and why I am where I am.
Right.
You know, 4.5 years ago, I had a great career. I was successful in corporate sales and client marketing and things like that, client relations.
Okay.
But I just wasn't happy. Every couple of years, I found myself wanting to look for a new position. But everything else in my life was great. My children, my husband, my friends, everything.
Right.
I just found myself every few months just feeling unfulfilled.
Okay.
And I realized that I had to step out of living in fear and step into discovering and defining what my passion and purpose was.
Right.
And that took stepping out of doing what I thought was the normal thing, which was going to college, getting a job, working, doing that. And I needed to really look into self. So I read The Alchemist, which...
Oh, yeah. Paulo Coelho is one of my
favorites. I, you know, I've read it several times since then. I felt like, and I still feel like somebody is writing the words over my shoulder as I read the book. But that really changed my mindset. And I really thought that I was, I am an outgoing, upbeat, loving, dreamer. But I had a toxic way of thinking where I was... putting obstacles in front of myself and it was all out of fear. So I definitely identify that as a time that was a failure, but I also see failures as a time for you to learn from your mistakes and grow from them.
That's wonderful.
So
I like that. Yeah. I wrote a book called The Three Seekers of Happiness, kind of like modern day fable, where A pompous psychiatrist goes to the mountain and meets a monk, and he learns the three secrets, and they're very simple. They're gratitude, optimism, and forgiveness. And it sounds like you may have gone through these yourself, these three secrets.
Yeah. The forgiveness was probably the toughest one.
Yeah. Self-forgiveness especially, yes.
Most definitely. And that was probably my biggest obstacle, was forgiving myself for things like having my son at 19, the careers that didn't work out, or people that I felt like I let down. If it wasn't for this awesome man that's over here.
Is he there? Is there right now?
Years.
Okay.
He is. He's a producer. He's my producer. So.
Wow. Very nice. Is he high right now a little bit?
Are you? Yeah. He shakes his head. Yes, he is. Yeah, okay. He is.
All right, well,
he made sure. He medicated.
Practice what you preach, huh? That's the important, right?
Yeah.
Reggie, you're laughing like crazy.
I believe that's part of the reason we've been together for 19 years, married for 15 in about a week. So
you're compatible,
can a
right?
couple stay together?
Yes, I like that. Now, how about superheroes? Let's say, Mary Jane, is there a superhero or someone that's been great in your life? It could be dead or alive, that you look up to.
Wow. There's so many people.
The comic books. Is there a superheroine or hero that you like the most?
You know, I like that you asked that. And I will say that it would be, and even though he was a bad guy, Killmonger Black Panther. The reason is because he was very resolute in his reason for why he became the way that he became and why he was going to do the things that he did.
Which one was that? Was it the one that his dad was killed or something? Is that the one? Or
he was the villain. Yeah, okay. He was the one that gave the very awesome, the best line in the whole movie. He said his ancestors weren't wrong. They'd rather die in the ocean than live in. And I'm not saying you're right at all, but the main idea was to be in slavery.
Enslaved.
Okay. So it was pretty powerful. But I would have to say just his perseverance and the fact that he was so resolute in his beliefs.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you better put on your costume now, the mongerer. That's going to be your new thing, no?
You know, I have my Halloween costume ready, and it's not quite that. That's a little bit different.
Different costume. Yeah. Okay.
Hey, it's an adult. It's adult. Halloween is for adults to dress up like we're not supposed to anymore. But okay. I'm going to be one of the girls from the WAP video. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you haven't, you should definitely see it.
What's it called again? WAP?
WAP, yes. Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion.
Okay. We'll check it out.
Reggie looks like he may have seen it.
Reggie
looking at his
everything.
Face. He has a little smile on his face. I think he may have seen it.
All right, Reggie, you better keep it to yourself until later. Okay. How about one tweet to the world, Mary Jane? Let's say you can summarize your philosophy or in one tweet. What would that be?
Lack of passion is fatal.
Okay. And tell us about that.
You know, I don't feel like I was necessarily on my way out, but I definitely feel like I was living a shorter life when I didn't identify my passion. Uh-huh. And if you don't identify your passion, you don't know your purpose. And I don't think you're going to live the quality of life that you know deep down that you deserve or that you're supposed to live.
So you were a corporate automaton at the time, do you think? Were you kind of doing things robotically in your previous
Most
career?
Definitely. Because I am the type of individual where you teach me something, I'm very stringent.
Yes.
I do it the way that I don't try to reinvent the wheel unless I know that I really can. But I was able to assimilate in sales a lot. And I definitely became that. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now tell me, Mary Jane, what are you guys working on now? Tell us about your website, products, services. What are you providing for folks out here in this thing?
Yes. Well, what I'm currently doing is working on our Create and Elevate, which was I created three different entities or ventures last year, which was a podcast, a nonprofit organization, which is The Colors of Cannabis, and Create and Elevate, which is a monthly curated cannabis event that provides education or just a location for people to get together and feel like part of a community.
Okay.
So, I really believe we're going to be in this, quarantine or stay in shelter or needing to stay at home. well into next year. So we're needing to pivot a bit. So instead of being able to do things in person, we want to start doing things virtually.
Okay.
So I will be having events like that virtually, working, you know, with the advocacy and the equity side of the industry, making sure that people of color and women of color are, you know, are equal to, you know, to in the playing field. I have, you know, merchandise coming out soon, brand new merchandise.
Okay.
I just started a new segment of the podcast, which is Staying Sane with Mary Jane. Oh, so it's kind of a mini pod.
I like that. The kind of flow is nice. That's a good thing.
Yes, thank you very much. And yeah, and just keeping up with season two. We are four episodes in the season two.
Awesome.
Staying pretty busy.
I see.
Yeah.
Just tell us your, tell us your website, Mary Jane.
It is Menage with the Mary Jane Maven.
Uh-huh.
And that is Menage with the Mary Jane Maven, and it's at Wix.com.
Okay. Now, the word menage, what is the idea of menage in your case?
Because it's actually to mean to gather.
Yes.
And it is mean to gather in groups of three or more. So I was doing a play off of the indica, sativa, and hybrid.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, yeah, it would be myself, my guests, you know, my viewers, and whatever. Okay. Whatever strain they chose to medicate with.
So you must have a good, you must have like a English or vocabulary training. You use very interesting words in your stuff.
I was told that you talk a lot. So that's what it is. I read and I talk a lot.
Okay.
But yeah, thank you. I try to have a grasp. I have a 12 and 9-year-old that I want to make sure that they, they understand words, and so we have a word of the day every day.
Yes, that's great. Well, Mary Jane, it's been a wonderful pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Really, I think, educated and enlightened our listeners today. And
I hope so.
You're giving us kind of a very compassionate take on a new thing here, because a lot of people don't understand the whole idea of, you know, cannabis, marijuana, is the way you're describing it. So you're saying it's a way to connect people socially and also maybe emotionally to an extent. But you got to find out your own chemistry, right? Your brain chemistry, your genetics and all that, and how it affects you.
You have to be responsible with it. You know, this cannabis is also something that can help with social issues. I definitely think it's something that can help to make our society much better and bridge the gap in generational wealth and educational gap. So yeah, it's a power flower, you know, and I think it's a beautiful thing. And I very much appreciate you allowing me to come on and speak about it today.
Definitely. Well, you know, Love University, we're all about loving ourselves, others, and a higher nature. And, you know, the higher nature, you know, God or spirituality, but also it could be something else. It could be being a compassionate person, you know, loving people. I think what you're trying to do is connect people in a certain way and with that loving energy and giving back to others.
And we definitely need it right now.
Exactly.
We definitely need it in abundance.
Exactly. So Love University students, if you're interested in learning more about Mary Jane, also about the show, and if you want to be a guest or have show ideas, you can contact us at loveuniversity.love, 310-226-8090, loveuniversity@gmail.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook at Love University Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at Love, letter U, Podcast. And also, you can subscribe to us at Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Until next time, Dr. Alex Avila, so go out and give love to people this week. This is a loving energy week. And learn more about your own chemistry internally and externally, and see what we can do to make this world a better place. Dr. Avila, until next time, put away your notebooks, your iPads, your iPhones. Until next time, see you then.